Praise ye, Lord. Praise ye, Lord. Brother Richard, can you bring me up a little bit up here? You asked me about that last week. You remember what you've done? I know you can hear me out there, but I keep telling you, sound system is no good. It's not, a sound system is not even for you. It's for the one who talks. We've been working with that for years around here. Everybody wants to set it up for themselves up there. They need it right here, so I can hear. If you'll, you know, I walked out of the dining room this morning for that same thing you're doing right now again. And I'll walk out of here. You people, you are have been forewarned over 100 times to prepare yourself when I start to talk. And don't tell me you don't know how to do it. Don't tell me. You know how to do it. You're just a bunch of stubborn people. That's what you are. And if you don't deal with that stubbornness, I want you to know how close this is. And if you will not, what? This is the Holy Spirit talking. This is not Christopher talking. This is not Brother Stair talking. Now go ahead and do it again. Just as I told you a few days ago, that God's going to get rid of this hostility. I have stood up in front of you people enough for you to know that I'm going to stand up. And you know what to expect. To reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. I do it every single time. Every time I stand up, every issue, I reprove, I rebuke, and I exhort. And then I preach the word. By reproving, by rebuking, and exhort. Now you should not sit there again and act like you don't know, understand those words. Just go right ahead. You know, I'll get to that because that's the subject I'm going to talk about today. You better thank God. I mean, you better thank God that He again this morning is being long-suffering because of your stubbornness. Now, what do you want to do? You can't do it now. You see, you're supposed to be able to do it instantly. But to do that, you got to practice. You don't walk in. That's why God's got people, a prophet making somebody ready for His coming. Because if He come like this, you're not ready. He could have just come, couldn't He? Without sending somebody to make you ready, couldn't He? But no, then you wouldn't have been ready, would you? Unto them that she has to do with your face. I will send my message before I show my face, he says. Don't sit there and get with your smart alligators on me. I got the scriptures and you know it. Every last one of you know it. And you despise the word of God for some reason or other. I don't know why, but you do. I will send my messenger before my what? That means you're going to come face to face. And everyone that hath this hope of seeing Him face to face. Sure. Start with your heart, your mind, and then it'll show in your face. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see it. See it again. See it. See what? See Him. See Him. Now, where are you this morning? Where are you? Where are you that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? Would you like to hear some sweet words from God? Then look Him square in the face. Don't look with a guilty look on your face. Don't look with a downcast look. Look him. And here you get the forerunner. He gets you. Well, I don't think he's going to look like you. You don't, huh? I'll quote and tell you again, you smart Alex. You brazen walls. You desire to see the day of the Lord, huh? What do you think you're going to see? What kind of face you're going to see on Him? What kind of you think you're going to see when He shows up? Right. Huh? Amen. And so He sent before a refiner's fire. What do you see in the face? You see the anger, the wrath, the frustration. That ain't the way he's going to show up, huh? Yes, he is. So furious that he better have caught you up in the air. Because everything down here is going to be gone. You better be in a place where he's going to put you. Now, I know, right away, I heard somebody answer me back. What about the people that God's going to save? He got them in a place. Just like he had Noah in a place. Everything else is destroyed, but Noah was in a place. And he preserved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the place. In the fiery furnace. Not out of it. In it. Look. Simple. Look, y'all know the scriptures, don't you? Boy, just look and see. You know, brother and sister, you are something else. I want you to know how close this is. How very close. Now, you just persist in the stubbornness here this morning again. Go ahead. Look, and you just don't know what to do to you. Yeah. I tell you what. You lie when you tell me you don't know how to change your faces. You're liars. You change something you like? Something that pleases you? Man, you change right away. Instantaneous. So don't tell me you don't know how to do it. You give yourself over to a spirit of rebellion. You can give yourself over to the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Just instant. Be instant. In season. Out of season. Yeah. Oh, no. Go ahead. Go, keep on. Talk back to me again. Go ahead. You rebellious house. Clean it out, God. Clean it out. That's all I hear from the mouth of Paul. I would love to speak on he's on a spiritual. Again, I questioned him up this week. I said he thinks you're spiritual. And that's why you folk do that. You think you're spiritual. You want to look spiritual. I'll go home and I'll check the scripture to make sure what he's doing is right. I want to be spiritual. See how quiet you are? Why you do that? And then somehow you got it through your head. And shame on you if it ever gets down into your heart. That's your thing sparing you right now. It's not in your heart yet. If it ever gets down in your heart. But hear me. You let this supposedly spiritual attitude get down in your heart. That's what Satan did. You got it down. I will exalt. I will exalt. I will be above. I'll be ahead of. Huh? I really am not going to apologize, you folks, that God chose me. He chose me, whether you like it or not. I know you're better men than me. I know you're smarter than me. I know you can't understand why God, but he did that long before you ever came around. You know that, don't you? Hey, but when he chose me, you were already in the chosen process where you were supposed to be. And he didn't choose you to put in my place or me in your place. No. He's not going to turn it around. I know God is God, and God don't ever change. I know God is God, and he always will be God. He's God when you like it and don't like it. He's God if you go to hell or heaven. He's God when it's night or darkness. He always will be God. So you might just want to get yourself out of the picture, because you ain't going to be no God no how. That's all to it. Wow. Oh, Brother Tom, you hear me talking like this all the time, huh? I tell the brothers, him and Jonathan, I said, this generation is even worse than the generation of Noah's day. Do you know what the Bible said about it? I said it on the radio today. I said it, oh, of course. I was watching this morning again. I could watch. You folks, you don't pay no mind to that satellite anymore. Hardly any of you ever really stop and listen to hear what I'm really saying. It's just drumming in your background. Look at defiant looks. Oh, I hear. Well, next time I ask a question, we'll see if you hear. We'll see. We'll see if you hear. You know, several times in this tabernacle, we've heard references to men like Brother Pruitt and Al and other people, like even Tim Butler. Here's Tim Butler one day get up here and bragged on his prophet. Huh? Wow. No matter what I do, God, I'm trying my best to see if I get this change. If I get this change, that's why he saw me walk right out of that dining hall. I watched that hostility, right? Just your face turn around hardened. The Bible told you, the day you hear my voice, harden not your hearts as But thou cannot.
That's right.
What do you think they did to Moses that day to provoke him? Huh? They just provoked him, man. Well, it wasn't right. It's not right to provoke anybody except to love. That means to prove them to do the right thing. Is that what I'm doing to say? Am I provoking you? Let's get a loving relationship with God and an open heart. You don't know what I'm going through. The hell with you. You ain't going through nothing. You're so blessed. Had a meals all week long. Breaks every two breaks in between. I'll tell you this again. You know they say we got a slave camp down here. Well, I'd like to find the slaves. Boy, if this is a slave camp, you got it made in the shade. See, we learn to work like the heathen. That's why America's losing its jobs. You can't find a person out there anywhere in America who works 8 hours a day. They put their time in. We get paid so much by time, not by work. There was a time you used to get paid by productivity. Oh, they don't even know about that. Man, oh man. I was reading an account of what was that up there in Maine? It was some kind of a factory, I forget what it was. And the women got paid by how many they did it. What was that? Yeah, I know, but there was a factory. They just closed the last one. And some of them women, boy, I mean, man, I forget what they were putting in a little thing. And they had no time to sit there and talk.
No.
And they're getting paid, and some was 1,000, 2,000. Old women, young women. See what they did? They got one. You got that automatic, boy. Ah, never mind. How do you talk about work to a generation that doesn't know about work? How do you talk to them? How do you talk to them? You say, well, brother, we're not supposed to work. Not man's work. This is not, God's not looking for it. But I must work the works. There is works of God, though. There is works of God. From dead works and faith. There's works of faith. Or they spring from faith. You don't work to get the faith. You have faith to produce the works. If you don't understand anything, go to hell, I'm telling you. You rebellious house. I know you're listening out there, a whole bunch of, oh, I got in trouble with that the other day. So she's talking to me. Well, that's I'm talking to you. We don't need it, brother. We don't need it, huh? Make it appeal ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, son of man? Yes, sir. Father, what is it? Are they ready? What? Are they ready? You know I'm going to come suddenly. Yeah. Nobody knows. Oh, yeah, they'll know. They'll know. Because then why would God be wanting to get ready? For they that are ready. What is there anybody in this house that can somehow open up your heart and receive what I'm saying with joy? Too much, huh? Be not afraid of their faces. You want to hear the rest of it? For I am with thee. Now, which side do you want to get on? You want to stick your face in my face and try to make me afraid and back down? Well, who do you think God's with on this? That's all coming to a showdown, you know it. If there's ever a people that has seen God stand behind a man, you have. And some of your causes seem more just than mine. But none of them were more just than his. And that's where you goof. You think you have a justifiable cause. And you don't. There's only one justifiable cause. Only one.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
And for this cause, Brother Christopher reminded me the other day, he said, Brother, you know you're the only one. Of course, you know, y'all don't like that. If you believe that, you would think you would keep seeking for someone else? For somebody else to tell you something? Or somebody, oh, brother, see, I heard the preacher say this, and I said, I done said it 1,000 times. But you take what I come in my Father's name, you won't take what I say. Nothing comes on the day you believe. Boy, you know something. If a man's a liar and he speaks the truth, then what's he done? He turned the truth into a lie. You understand that? You understand that? So not only should you know what you hear, but you should know who you hear it from.
Glory to God. How worthy, O God.
Is that a scripture? Well, isn't it or isn't it? Well, Brother Christopher was telling me about was a. I chuckled when he said I didn't comment on it, but it just made me chuckle, you know. Well, Sister Kathy gave Sister Ann a Henry Groover tape. Yeah. Now, what do you think Henry Groover is going to tell you, or any of you? Amen. Why would you even want to listen to a tape where the spirit of denial is on it? Amen. Well, what? What? Yeah. But you used Henry Groover, and I also told you how he pulled back. So he's got a spirit of denial on him. David Carroll, spirit of denial. Yes. J.R. Church, they got a spirit of denial on him. Yes, they betray the truth. Yes. You give heed to that spirit, giving heed to a seducing spirit. Certain men crept in unaware. Ungodly men ordained to be condemned, not listened to. No, being warned of God, he condemned the world. The problem being warned of God condemns these soothsayers. Yes. Condemns them. Amen. What are you doing messing with them? Amen. Well, you think you're the only one? Well, what sayest thou? You honestly believe God's going to let you off the hook on that, don't you? One God, one faith, one truth. One way. Well, that iniquity, that's what it is, friends. That is what iniquity is. Stubbornness, rebellion, idolatry. You better lay it down. You better lay it down. Not just on your words, I am nothing. They don't know how to do it, Lord. They don't know how to do it. All right, do what you want. I just want to let you read that to us. It's there. Be not afraid of their faces. And if there's ever a people on the face of the earth that heard a prophet emphasize that. When I was just a kid, 16 years of age, knowing hardly nothing at all. Oh, we heard you tell that before. Oh, Brother Astaire, you know, you act like that was a big deal. Well, I do declare, no kid. You're fooling me. I'll go over it with you again. I had been saved on a driving down a road. Now, I've been saved before that, but that's when God brought me to the consciousness of it. He didn't save me on Union Boulevard. He saved me before the foundation of the world, see? But at that point, I didn't know that. And that's your only hope, that somehow he can relate to you that your end had begun in the beginning. Because if it wasn't in the beginning, you're not in the end. You understand that? He chose you before. Right before time. You'll be around after time. And my God, I just said something. And there you are. Oh, God have mercy. Why, what do you say to the people? God. I guess somehow you think that you're around because God really loves you. Well, I'll tell you who God loves. He loves himself. He's a lover of himself. And he ain't got no room to love you. Unless you get in him, you ain't going to be at all. That's why he's going to have no problem getting rid of you. Because he loves himself. He wants to hear somebody say, love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you won't even be there. You understand how God's going to deal with this? Billions of people have Satan thrown in his face. Satan, God said, I had nothing to do with that. God had nothing to do with the population explosion. That was Satan's masterpiece. It's the same damn thing that people do today. I don't see how God can put that one in hell or destroy that one or my little baby. He doesn't do it, see? That's the problem. He's not putting no mamas, daddies, babies in hell. None of them. None of them. Those are... Lord, my God, they still won't believe me. They still won't believe me. Amen. You're not going to see your mama, your daddy, your babies.
Thank God.
Amen. Your aunts, your uncles,
hallelujah,
in heaven or in hell?
Amen.
No, 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 Lord! Wow, wow! They still won't. The soul, fear God who can destroy both soul and body.
Amen.
Well, that's my mama. No, no, that's the fleshly body.
Amen.
That will be consumed in the fires of hell.
Amen.
Without being burnt.
Amen.
You have fire that can burn without consuming something? Because God's a consuming fire. Whether you like it or not. When Moses looked out there and saw that bush, that was God.
Yes.
That was a consuming fire.
Yes.
It didn't consume the bush.
No.
But it did consume what God wanted to consume.
Amen.
Or your word consuming, you mean to engulf with. To set you on fire, being the fire, Holy Ghost, being consumed by it. Been engulfed by it. Been affected by it. Oh, wow. Lord have mercy. Now, the 16-year-old boy, I told you this story many times. I was joining, I belonged to the Assembly of God Church. I never joined it, but I belonged there. There were good men there that took me under their wing. They nurtured me. I can tell you, in the Free Methodist Church, in the Holiness Christian Church, in the Nazarene Church, in the Pilgrim Holiness Church, in the Assembly of God Church, in the Church of God, whenever I would go to them when I was young, I never joined any of them except the Free Methodists. I became an evangelist for them. When I did pastor church with the Free Methodists, it was an independent church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that I pastored. But I was a Free Methodist pastor, but I was not a pastor of that church because it was not a Free Methodist church. You understand? I was just had what they call a little piece of paper and said, oh,
amen.
How do you do, God? You used all kind of words. And what a lack of understanding of anything. I had the Lord speak to me the other night. I said, God, this bit of understanding. He said, son, you've got to make them understand this. If you're going to understand, there's only one way you understand, that's believe. Even if you can't comprehend, you just believe. In all you're getting, get believing. Then you believe the truth to be a truth, the lie to be a lie, the right to be right, the wrong to be wrong, even if you don't understand it. Yeah, there'll be no mamas in hell. Believe that. Then you'll understand. You're not going to see your grandpa in heaven. Believe that. Then you'll understand. You won't go to heaven looking for grandpa.
No.
If that was the truth, that you're going to see your loved ones in heaven, how many of you would be disappointed?
Amen.
Do you have any loved ones you, as far as you know, is not going to make it?
Amen.
Would that, huh? Then you got there, you didn't find them? What would you do? What would you do, huh? What would you do? Hey, where's my mom? Hey, where's my little baby? Almost every one of these so-called religious folk today, they say, oh, we abort babies. Because they believe that the baby in the mother's womb has a soul.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If they do, which they don't, and they get aborted in their womb, hey, and they go to heaven like you say, what a blessed way to go. Hey, let's get them all aborted. What do you get there? Nobody gets to heaven by aborting a baby.
Amen.
That's not the way you get saved.
No.
So they just don't have a soul.
No.
they really don't have a soul.
Amen.
Better than never born. Thank God, millions of little babies, supposedly that would have been, were never born. How God thwarted Satan's purpose, huh? Yeah. Uh-huh. I heard God say to me, I don't want you to go to the Assembly of God Bible School.
Amen.
I took that wholesale. No Bible school.
Yes.
Wow. He said the same thing to you when he first saved you. If you listen to him, he said, don't join a church.
That's right.
But we thought that that was the proper thing to do.
That's right.
Join a church, get a Bible. What was the first one of the first things you did after you got saved? Got yourself a Bible, didn't you? If you had it, you started reading, didn't you?
Amen.
Boy, did you read the book.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
Amen.
I read my Bible. Boy, have I heard that.
Amen.
Understand what thou readest.
Right.
Well, how can I? One fellow said. A very, very wise man. A very learned man.
Amen.
Very learned man.
Amen.
Devout. Can you imagine riding across a desert reading the book of Isaiah?
Amen. Amen.
He must have been bored, huh? Couldn't find nothing else to do. Can you picture you driving down the road to visit grandma reading the Bible all the way? What do you think your guy was doing? Had no idea, do you? Well, if I tell you, would you believe me?
Amen.
If I tell you, would you believe me?
Amen.
If I tell you, it was very important, isn't it? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know how important it was? Holy Ghost had it. Written down and recorded.
Lord,
it is written.
Lord.
Out of many, many people at that time. Just all of a sudden, God takes a fellow named Philip, right?
Yeah.
Shoot! Sends him through the air.
Glory.
Whoop!
Glory. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Oh, you don't expect me to believe that, do you, brother?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, you all read the book, right?
Yes,
yeah, Philip's over here doing missionary work.
Right.
Taking care of the widows and feeding the orphans. He wasn't even an apostle. He was just what we would call him a deacon. He was one of the seven men that they were told to look out who was full of the Holy Ghost. And does anybody in this house know the scriptures at all? Why do I have to go back every time, open the book and show you that what I say is there? I mean, you ought to be the books, right? Hey, books, be the book then here. Look you out, seven men, full of the Holy Ghost and
wisdom.
He was one of them.
Yes.
Only two out of the seven were named.
Amen.
Only two.
Amen.
Only two out of the seven were named. We didn't even know who the others were.
Amen.
Those two God did a specific work.
Amen.
And had it recorded down. One was Stephen.
Yes. Amen.
Chorus, Nicanor, Timon, Grimenus, Achaeus. They got a name.
But you don't hear them, do you?
Oh, no.
You know, that's just, you don't hear a word of what they did.
That's right.
The other two were named, and there were special supernatural things done.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, look, go on home, please. I beseech you, go home. Go back to your rooms. Go ahead, go to your tents. I think it would be better if you walked out here than me, because there's somebody out there, one or two, that will hear me. And I can't, I got to stop this house from stopping me. So go home, take a little walks. Turn off the air, just put on your little earphones, and go ahead. You wonder why you're in disarray and confusion. Because you don't hear. We've quoted it to you thousands of times. My people are being destroyed. Do you know how many little things on this farm that God gave us here as we're working out our... Do you know this is what you're doing when you're working on this farm? Do you know what you're doing when you are... What do you think, you're milking cows? Feeding goats? Take care. What do you think? You're working out your salvation. You're doing things that are unto the Lord. And you're supposed to do it according to instructions. Do you know how many things get destroyed in on this job, on this plate, because you won't receive the instructions or you won't obey them? You still don't get the little significance of it, do you? And then if I go and give you, for instance, boy, you'll raise up inside of me and you'll... Well, what does that matter? Well, if it consumes time that doesn't need to be consumed, if you do something that didn't have to be done, because it was done. You want it done your way. And then all of a sudden, you look, my people are being destroyed. Let's say I got two brothers here, and I give them a job. See? Now, how good and helpful for them to dwell together. But all of a sudden, I give them instructions on how to do the job. Now, I'm dealing with two different personalities. One would do it this way, another would do it that way. So I'm saying, here's the way you do it. Yes. Now, two would say, your way don't count, and your way don't count. So here's the way to do it. To do it like this, you'll stay together, you'll be in unity, there'll be no division. How many knows that I could give one or two, for instances, even for yesterday? Amen. Yesterday, two or three things that I saw break the continuity of our life around here. Amen. And then when you did, my people be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because they refused instructions. Yesterday, all at once, I heard about a load of chicken feet coming here. Next thing I know, it's all turned upside down, inside out. And I said to the brothers, I said, why'd y'all come to me? I'll settle that thing just like that. Oh, I wouldn't please everybody or anybody with my judgment, but I'll settle it. I said, look, just take that load and put it in that barrel right over there. No more questions, just put it. Well, he don't like it this way. He don't like, who cares? Just here's the barrels, put it in the barrels, settle the job, period. And you all agree with that? We'd have unity, won't we? Won't we? Settle it right away. Yes, sir. Look, see? Yeah. Well, Brother Jay, you ought to let us run this far. You want it?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just trying to tell you. You see how that oneness was destroyed because of lack of knowledge or instructions on how to handle it? Amen. Do you see what happened? How would you handle it? Carl wanted to handle this way. So I want to handle this way. No one handle that way. See, and I told you, part of my mistake is I actually let you do it. And I said, man, why did I get right in the beginning of it? I said, look, here's the way you're going to do this. Just do it like this. I don't know right by now, after all these years, that there's no way I can give instructions and get 100% agreement. Amen. Cannot be done. Not with God's people. We are disagreeable people. Amen. Yeah, we are. Amen. And we don't agree with the being known. Yes, we've done it. Yes. And Christopher's out there, he's doing tomatoes and... If I wouldn't do it like that. Well, then all you got to say is do it.
Yeah,
but as long as he's doing it, I say, what are you doing? He explained to me, okay. And result, tomatoes get planted. That's it.
Hallelujah.
I guarantee you, he's doing it a lot different than a lot of you would do. Am I talking about chicken feed? Am I talking about tomatoes? I'm talking about our little unity, our fellowship. Our spirit of clearness with each other so we don't feel envious towards somebody or get mad at somebody or get upset because so-and-so said so-and-so. Now tell me, saints, tell me how you justify yourself. Well, he said so-and-so, or so-and-so said so-and-so. And then we don't even understand the mercy of God. What have you done yesterday, that old supply would have said, to hell with you folk. I'm not going to mess with this. Bring me back here twice. What kind of a reputation do you think that gives us back over there? Over a stupid excuse. You don't admit that, do we, huh? I try to tell you people on this farm here, living here. That's why when people ask to come here, I say, no, you don't want to come here. Because you don't know how to live here. And there's only one way to live here. You know that, don't you? What way is there to live here? By instructions. Told what to do. There's only one way to worship God. By instructions. The word of God is profitable for. It's profitable for. It's profitable for. It's profitable. It is profitable. It is the word of God. Sharper than two-edged sword. And it is profitable. It is profitable for instructions in doing what's right or reacting right or thinking right. Hallelujah. What's the righteousness with this? Brother Rick came to me last night and we situated. I said, look, let's just go to court with this. Let's just get with it. God going to fight this battle for us in court or out of court? In season or out of season? Is the end result going to be what God wants, or isn't it? Well, do we believe or no? See, we're makes no difference about it. Well, you'll lose the money, or you'll lose what? Well, I'll lose my soul. What would it profit me if I gained everything, lost my soul? Come on, folk. What are you trying to get saved here? What do you believe God was to save, your soul or your life? You're not with me, are you? See, and again, you just resist and you resist. Be you transformed. Be you transformed, made over, think differently, pursue righteously. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. I walked out of the radio room. I wasn't going to bring the Bible, because I got a whole bunch of stuff here. Maybe I'll never get around to it again, Lord. Had me so excited about it. But as I walked out, I went to the house, and the Lord said, take that Bible with you, because I want you to read something. So I brought it along. Well, do you know what he wants you to read? Yeah, I can even probably read it without reading it. But if I did that, then some of you folks would have to check me out and make sure I get it just right now. You want to comment again? Names. Out of the seven, there was only two that God gave credibility with their names. Only two. They're the only two. Because you see, the word name, the phrase name means authority. And these two men went beyond the authority that was given to them as they were chosen out. They went beyond it. They went into another realm. And so God used these two. The other ones went about taking care of widows. But these two went beyond it. They went into a spiritual realm. And so God wrote Philip. My God, friends, why are you sitting like a Philip? He was picked up one place. He was ministering in a town, in a city. He was shaking up the whole city. And all of a sudden, bang, what? Wrangler standing out in the middle of the.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, Lord God.
Can you picture here that guy riding down? The eunuch he was.
Amen.
He had been to Jerusalem.
Amen.
Do you know why people went to Jerusalem, even from pagan heathen countries? We know the Jews went there, but not all of them went for the right reason either. Jerusalem was a city of worship and symbolic of the true God, the one God. All the other gods paid homage directly or indirectly to that one God. Some, a Mars Hill, bunch of gods. Then the unknown God. There's somebody bigger than these guys. Paul said, that's the one I know. Now, I asked you a simple question with good spiritual logic. The guy goes up to Jerusalem. Now he's coming back on his way home. And what's he doing? He didn't find what he wanted in Jerusalem, did he? So he's still going home troubled. Oh, but Almighty always looking down. He sees this man seeking after him. He that seeks for me, I'll make sure he finds me. Remember the question? Huh? Oh, God, you folk really ought to go home and read the book and get excited about something like this. Yeah. Sure. Hey, Philip, yeah, go join yourself to that.
Amen.
That fellow in the chariot. To hear? My God. Can you see him? It's a chariot going on down the road. Here comes Philip running on. Whoa! Hi! Who are you? That doesn't matter. I see you're reading the book. Yeah, I really am. Do you understand what you're reading? Come on now, I'm talking to a college bred PhD, DD, highfalutin, educated. Don't you know rulers of those days were specially trained? highly educated. Huh? Can you imagine what that fellow said? He looked down at a commoner. Somebody, he probably wouldn't spit on it otherwise. But in this unusual circumstances, this, you ask me a question like that? Yeah. Yeah, do you understand what you're reading? You sound like you do. He said, how can I? How can I understand except I have a man? Right? Right? Come on, Stan, help me out now. Right? Is that what it says? Amen. And old Phyllis says, I'm the man. Get up in this thing with me. Let's get together in this old chariot. Yeah, he's reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, I believe it was. And he said to Philip, he says, who is the prophet talking about here? Himself? Huh? See, hey, brother, Stare, who's the prophet talking? You're the prophet. Who are you talking about? Yourself? They always want to accuse me of talking about myself. Huh? Who was Isaiah talking about? Himself? Yeah, he was talking about himself. He was telling you what he saw, what he witnessed down there. He said he's telling you about somebody that's coming. And if you don't believe what he says, you ain't going to believe the one that comes. Okay, who's going to believe this report? Who's going to believe this? I got to thinking about that this morning. I said, God, all the prophets and all the apostles, they had such terrible lives in the flesh. They died horrible deaths. Amen. Why? God said, because people kept looking at their humanity. Amen. And I had to use them to show people how I would destroy flesh. Amen. He destroyed their flesh. Every last one of them. Amen. And when you read about it, you don't read about their flesh. You read about their ministering in the spirit. Amen. You wonder how in the world Isaiah, how did he die? What? Who's going to believe that report? Who's going to believe that they actually took Isaiah and sawed him in half? And I studied that a little some time ago. It wasn't this way. It was this way. Well, who's going to believe that report? Isaiah? Oh, well, you folk really don't believe the book. It was such a memorial event that it was mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Sawn asunder. Oh, I didn't know it meant that. Well, now you do. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, that's read several times in that book. Do you know that's what we do here? Hallelujah. Present your bodies. Every Sabbath day, we here, and people around, we present ourselves before the Lord. And Satan was among them. Have you ever seen a time we gather together and Satan don't come among us? What do you think putting those thoughts in your mind, those rebellious thoughts? What's seducing spirits doing that? What do you think it is that instead of opening your heart to receive the truth, what do you think it is that's turning your ears away from the truth? Satan is among us. Now, someone mentioned the other day, April 19th to me. I don't study things like that, but we know that April 19th has been a manifestation of Satan among us. Just like God has seasons, Satan has them. He counteracts every one of God's. He tries to replace him, just like he did with Easter. He took Easter and replaced Passover with it. He took Christ's birthday on December 25th and replaced a new birth. He finds some way to take God's successful times and seasons and perverse them. That's how Christianity got corrupted. He took the Sabbath day and he hadn't done away today. He hadn't done away. He still got a day. Yeah, Satan got a day. Yeah, he does. It's called Sunday. Do you know that Satan does nothing outside the Word of God? Do you know the Bible said no man or devil can do anything against the truth? Only for the truth? Really? 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 Well, and what is truth? See? I think it was on Mount Sinai when God spoke to Moses, and the Bible said the top of the building, the mountain got burnt. I think that's symbolic of Pentecost, too, if I'm not mistaken. I think it has to do with this particular day coming up right here, Pentecost. Now, they presented themselves. See, on the day of Pentecost, God had people present themselves. What I'm trying to get across to you is that it is the will of God for God's people to present themselves. To present your bodies, your whole spirit, soul, and body, to present yourself unto the Lord. What do you think we're going to do when Jesus comes? We're going to present ourselves. Do you really want to appear before Him in flesh? Or do you want to appear before Him in spirit? Making the people ready. Now, what Brother Christopher was telling me yesterday was, he mentioned Henry Groover tape, and then he mentioned how not once did Henry Groover in that tape talk about the coming of Christ like he did before. Not once. Right. See, all these men, like David Wilkerson, Henry Groover, Dimitri Rubin's gone, his son's I could go on and on and on, man after man after man after man. And then he quoted a scripture to me. He said, Brother, you're the only one. He said, you're the only one who has not been disobedient to the heavenly vision.
Thank you, Jesus.
Without a vision.
Thank you, Jesus.
I started to preach to you by the vision of the Lord, by the revelation. That's what a vision is. That's what a vision is. It's a revelation. It's making it known.
Amen.
It was revealed to Simeon by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That he would not die, but that he would see.
Hallelujah. Glory. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord.
What do you think John the Baptist was doing is out there hollering? He was looking all the time. Because
yes.
He had to see first, didn't he?
Yes.
And when he finally saw him,
glory,
he said, there.
Hallelujah.
This is what I see.
Yes.
Now everybody should know that without a vision, the people perish. Do you know how many ministries have started to perish because they lost the vision? I actually tried to contact Henry Groover the other day because I wanted to bring him back in, because just a few weeks ago he came out a little bit again. We're trying to reiterate with somebody. And I said, well, why don't you come to this prophet? Why don't you come? My God, if you want to get this message to the world, I won't even make you pay for it. David Wilkerson. Why don't you just come to this prophet? Just come right here and I'll take your message and even give God glory and you credit.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord God.
I actually sent David Meyer an offering again the other day. He didn't even respond. You hear these things over and over again. And what Christopher was trying to get across to me was, there's a reason why you're marked. Because from every source, people have... What? Tell me what... I have to do with somebody's divorce and remarriage, or somebody's losing their family. Well, what have I got to do with it? Why am I the target?
Amen.
I mean, people I don't even deal with.
Right. Right.
Why am I the target? I mean, just leave me alone. You don't want to blame me? A little old faggot that called me every day now. I know he's a faggot. You know, I know. Why don't you blame music? I like to listen to you, but you ought to say happy things. Yeah, just this way sound. Happy things. What you got, Robert? A tractor?
Yeah.
What kind of a tractor? A John Deere. Now really, if I can, but that's the problem. See, I don't know where to start. I start to say something and I'll say, well, they have a little understanding, and if I start saying something, they'll grasp it. But oh, fools.
Hallelujah.
Slow. You do know that's what you're doing. You're slow to respond.
Yes.
Oh, you respond eventually. If I push you hard enough and demand much, you'll finally respond.
Yes.
When Jesus comes, you better be ready for a quick change.
Yes.
You're going to change things.
Hallelujah.
And if you're not acceptable to change,
bless you.
You like the status quo.
Bless you.
Everything to do, you like, you know. And my people love to have it so. You better start checking out your spirit and find out how you respond to the truth. And you say, well, that's the way it is. You better start stirring yourself. Now, one of the things that I told you, no one else has ever told it. There's been others who have echoed it. That means they heard me and then they have said it.
Amen.
There's others who come against it. But it is such a profound truth, and it has to do with now.
Glory.
Right now.
Glory.
It's found in the story of the seven tests of Job in the last one.
Amen.
The last one.
Yeah,
the last
Amen,
one.
Yes.
The last one. The last one that Jesus had.
Yes.
I told you, there were seven tests that Job went through.
Amen.
Job was a type of the body of Christ,
Amen.
The chosen, the perfected one, the elected
yes.
one. None like him.
No.
None like him in all the earth.
Amen.
The one true church, the people
Amen.
Of God.
Hallelujah.
And the account of that don't look too good, does it?
No.
The only thing that sets that thing straight is God said in the beginning,
Amen.
Right in the beginning,
yes.
have you considered
yes,
my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth. He's perfect. He shews evil.
Yes.
That's the type or a description of the body of Christ.
Yes.
None like it.
No.
Only one body.
Amen.
None like it.
Amen.
Chosen in the beginning.
Lord.
In the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was the body.
Yes, Lord.
And then it was made flesh.
Yes.
So we could see the body.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
What somebody got to do to get your eyes light up?
Amen.
I mean, you're so dark. You ought to take pleasure in that. Because Jonathan told you it's out of that darkness.
Yeah.
It's out of that darkness that God will turn the light on if you let him.
Yeah.
He'll turn it on.
Yeah.
Now the people are in darkness, but God will turn the light on.
Yeah.
Hey!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to go through the seven tests of Job, but I promise you that every last one of you have gone through a good part of them. Now some of you haven't yet got to the last one. Except with the body. Except as a whole.
Yes.
We're witnessing as a whole
Amen.
That God has looked like your forsook us.
Yes. Right.
No?
Mm.
Well, come on. What a profound truth. That God, how many years ago did I preach that? First test was prosperity. Began right around basically this last day church with the prosperity gospel. The latest in church. Does anybody remember me telling you so? I'm rich. Prosperity gospel. Then along came the healing ministry. Job got sick. You would be surprised what the healing preacher would tell you if you were sick in their day. Come on, boy. Why are you sick? That's one thing about Jack Cole. Jack Cole's a great divine healing preacher. You know what they found about Oral Roberts? His medical university couldn't keep him alive.
Amen.
Amen. What did he pay for that university? He was going to find a cure for cancer.
Yeah.
I remember when he did that, I thought, my God, I thought he knew the cure for cancer.
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question. Does God have to heal every cancer victim to be the healer of cancer?
No.
Or just one of them?
Amen.
Just one of them.
Hallelujah.
Would that be enough? Does God have to save the whole world to prove he can save? Or just save one? Just save one. There were many widows, huh? But just save one. See, it's just one. And that proves he can save. He can save. He can save you. He can save. And then that message is conveyed to all the others. If God can save you, and then he's trying to save me, and I'll say, how can he do it? He said, look, I saved him. Save him.
Hallelujah.
You know, we quote the scripture over and over again. Count the long suffering of God. Now we know where the first time we heard of God's long suffering.
Bless you, Jesus.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. What took you so long to answer? The first description of God's long suffering was in the days of Noah.
Amen.
It was alluded to and written down in the New Testament. You don't think you ought to learn a bit more about God's long suffering?
My Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You don't think so? Mm-hmm. What do you think is letting you sit here like you're sitting right now? Here's God looking down, wanting to have joy and peace and victory, and finds us just overwhelmed with, huh? And he said, well, I can't take him like that. So you think Dave Morales suffered long? Well, I think God suffered. Yeah. I got news for you. When Dave rested, God rested. Amen. He doesn't worry no more about David. I got him now. Amen. I got Simon. I got him now. I got him in. I got him inside the ark. I shut the door. And on the resurrection day, I call him by. His long suffering ends over with. Amen. So you better count the long suffering of God as his intent to save you, because that's why he's long suffering.
Thank you, Lord.
And I told you long ago, when they first taught that, they were taught that God was long suffering to the world. No, sir. He had already condemned the world. He actually condemned the world with his long suffering with Noah. Because he would not condemn Noah with the world. I have no doubt in my mind that 100 years Noah could have done a lot of things that God could have condemned them with the world. But God said, no, I'm going to save you, Noah. He said, you have I deemed or given grace to in this age of judgment. He said, I'm going to save you, Noah. I'm going to save you. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I'm going to save you, your wife, your sons, your daughters, and their wives. That's it, Noah. What a word. I wish you folks would realize that God's been trying to tell you I'm going to save you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Making the word of God of none effect through your traditions. Amen. Well, I've always believed this, a fellow said the other day. Well, then you believe wrong.
Yes.
Oh, God didn't make man to sin, a man said this morning. He is a faithful listener. Huh? Can we talk, brother Stair? Hell no. Well, I don't want to let somebody steal from me what God gave me.
Amen.
That God made man to sin. Period. Otherwise, there'd be no other reason for man to be here. None whatsoever. He had to deal with sin. So he made man to deal with sin. And he used a man to get rid of sin. The devil took advantage of that. He just filled the world full of men. Billions of them. All sinners.
Amen.
And God not going to save them all? No, he's not going to save them all. No. Which ones are he going to save? The ones that believe on him. Who came to save them from their sins. And the ones that don't believe? They're condemned. Well, who believes? Well, the ones he chooses to believe. That's just the way God does it, and he doesn't have to explain it to you.
No.
What you need to understand is that you're not any better than anybody else, but he saved you. Praise the Lord. And that you ought to rejoice in. That. Why? Why you? Because he said, never mind. See, but our traditions make that none effect. We have traditions that make that word of God of none effect. Yeah, whosoever will it. Oh, God did make man to sin. He made man to choose. No, he didn't. No, Jesus even said to you, he said, you have not chosen me. You are a chosen generation that I have chosen, not you. You are part of that. Not you had nothing to do with it. And all I'm trying to do is get you to believe what I told you. That's all. Just believe me. And he doesn't even tell that to the world. He don't plead the world to believe him. Been given to you to believe. Blessed are you, for you have eyes to see and ears to hear and heart to perceive. Now believe, my God. Why? Yeah, I can and I will. And then to confirm that it was given to you to believe, you suffer because of what you believe. You suffer. Your old flesh gets in the way and you say, wow, how can God save me? And God said, I will. And so you suffer. I don't know why we can't get this to our head. There's nothing wrong with the way we live here. We live just like the world, except we live for a different reason. We work. We live in houses.
Yes.
We have wives and husbands and children.
Amen.
Yeah, we do. Amen. We sweat.
Yes.
We fill up our outhouses with dung.
Yes.
We don't live any different than the world, except we have a different cause.
Amen.
That's all.
Amen. Glory.
That's all. I sometimes, what's the conception these people got? From a small farm, compound what? You're a bunch of damn liars. You don't even know what you're talking about. Well, you got fornicators there. You got blasphemy. You sure do. Just like the world. The difference is we come out of the world, have them identified, and we strive against those things.
Hallelujah.
We don't hide behind them.
Amen.
No!
No.
And to watch the way some of you people just go right on and on. It's just a defiance to God. You better count God's long-suffering. He's surely long-suffering to us, work. He is long-suffering to us, work. He is long-suffering to us, work. He's long-suffering to us, work. Not willing. Aren't you glad you can know the will of God? Not my will. My will is to not repent. And as long as you try to exercise your will in repentance, you won't find it. You've got to submit to God's will. No conditions. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee. Don't know that song, huh?
Oh, yes.
Think maybe take the rhetoric out of it? I surrender
all.
Come on.
I surrender all to Jesus, blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Making the word of God of none effect through your traditions. That's your problem around here, trying to live in this farm, because you want to do things like you did traditionally in your own way. And you can't do it here.
Amen.
I try to tell every last one of you, you know nothing at all about what was given to you to do.
Amen.
You've never done what you're doing here.
True.
For this cause.
Amen.
With the same purpose in mind.
Hallelujah.
In the same direction.
Amen.
You put up a lot of fences in your time.
Right.
But never like you've done them here.
True.
The cause was different.
Amen.
One reason the call was, Stephen put the fence with the brothers. I have no doubt he put a fence up all by himself and had no problem except with him. But then when he starts dealing with the brothers, they'll have a problem with him, he'll have a problem with the brother. No? No? Had trouble in the flesh? No? It's just God's word. So since you know that, you prepare for the trouble. Troublesome times are here. So what you do, my friend, is you just believe what God says. Because it looks like the word of God is of none effect.
Yes, Lord.
For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Boy, that rang in my heart. None effect. None effect. None effect. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel.
Amen.
Honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect. God don't save babies. He don't save mothers. Oh, how we used to be able to sing those songs. I just can't sing them anymore like that. Tell mother I'll be there. Oh, boy. Oh, you can get people bawling and squalling with that one. I tell you what, I'd rather tell Jesus, you're going to be there. Why can't you grasp it? Which one do you think? That if you go to heaven and expect your mama or your daddy or your little baby to be there and they're not there, what are you going to do to God? Are you going to praise him? Well, you can start doing it now. Right here. If nobody will go with me. See, you can start getting yourself transformed now. Oh, I want to see him. I'm there to sing. Because he saved my mama, huh? No. You better get it right, saints. You better get your heart clean, pure. I couldn't avoid checking out the many definitions of non-effect, or the word effect. To break up. That is to violate, to frustrate, just don't have any answer. Break, asunder, cast off, cause to cease, not clean, defeat, disannul, disappoint, dissolve, divide, make of none effect, fail, frustrate, bring, come to naught, utterly make void, none effect. How do we do it? By our traditions. Contrary to the word. Thinking contrary to the word. Have we been told that? And these two are, to what? These two what? You see why you are always in disarray? Because you won't hide these things in your heart. You don't put them in there to call them out when you're having a conflict. You can't cast anything out of this mind without putting something in. In fact, that's how you cast something out. You get something stronger, and you put a stronger thought in and cast out the weaker. That's how you do it. The strong thought binds the weaker one. I go through it every single day. I thought, see, where'd that come from? Where'd that? And for God's sake, don't let the devil screw you up in your mind that it all has to do with sex. Your battle that you're having is thoughts of this world that are contrary to the thoughts of God. That's your battle. And he'll use feeding the chickens. He'll use building a building. Did Owen come and tell you how I fussed at him? Yeah, because you see, a few days ago, I have to give you an illustration now to get it. I'm very pleased with what they've done. But you see, what I told them to do, look, I'll try to give it to you in a nutshell. I walked over and I saw the little metal hut behind Dave Marotta's house. It's an old hut there. We need to get it out of there. First chance we get, you brothers cleaning up, just take the thing out. It's not worth fixing. And there's a bench that sits there, too. Your brothers all worked all around it several times, ready carrying stuff away. But there's that old broken down bench. There was just any 10 seconds, you had it out of the way. I sometimes wonder what it is that we do not like to keep things in order. We walk right by things. And most of the time, you just jump right at it and do it. It wouldn't take hardly any time at all. I walked out this morning by the hay barn out there. I looked over and I saw a whole bunch of canvas laying over this looking like a... And I thought, what? Now, I'll tell you what I can do. I can say, all right, you brother. I'll tell you what. Merlin, you know where the hay out there was wrapped up? Roll up then. Not today now, okay? Probably be done by tomorrow. By noon. Even no matter what he's got to do, he'll do it. What I'd like to do is I'd like to see somebody walk by and say, hey, that looks kind of sloppy. I'll just take it and put it away real quick. Don't take too long. Now, you know I depend on the spirit of righteousness. And I can tell you, what would it be right to do it or wrong to do it? See, now what happened with the little building was I walked by the little building because Naomi had mentioned she wanted to like to have a little machine, but it cost a lot of money. Well, I happened to think about that one. So I walked by and looked inside. And look, then I called the brothers. Oh, I said, what do you think? Now we could probably make one cheaper than that. Better than that. Right? I said, okay. You know, but I didn't tell them to go and do it. I just said, when you get time. Why? Because they got a lot of things they're doing here. A lot of things that take priority over shed for Naomi. No? No, I know it could have been, all right, you guys, I want you to out there right now and get that shed built. And they had to jump right at it. But that ain't what I said, did I? When we finally talked about it, Brother Timothy said to me, oh, we can do that in one night. It won't take long. That's what he told me. I said, what? Yeah, I said, we'll go out there one night. Well, okay. If they want to do it out there later in the night, that's fine. But I did want them to really quit doing what they were doing because we have other jobs that they're doing that are important. Well, the next thing I know, they took the task on. And the next thing you know, I got three or four out there just working away. Oh, it's a good job. Beautiful little thing. But I really did not want them to stop doing some of the other things to do that. If they can find time later on. I thought that's the way I presented it. Next thing I know, I got three or four fellows out there working on this thing. Boy, I mean, so what happened to me yesterday was Owen comes and said, I want the key for the white truck. I said, why is that? Well, you know, we want to get the things ready to take to the Naomi's. I said, I never told you I was ready to take that Naomi's. I never said, I never told you when I was going to take it or how. I never did. I said, what I am concerned about is why we can't have these trucks with our electrical hookup from one truck to another. So if somebody wants to use it anytime they want, you bang, bang, bang. Why do you got to fix them? You don't follow me, huh? We got trailers around here that are pulled by different trucks. They all have electric connections on them. Those electric connections should be fixed universally so you can take it from one truck to another and not have to go out there and rebuild the whole thing over again. Now, that's the way it ought to be. Because all of a sudden, you're ready to do the job, and then all of a sudden, now, what is that? That's neglecting. That's somebody destroying one and won't tell you or won't go and fix it. See? And what happens then, you destroy your continuity or the unity of the purpose of here. We're working together. See, we make the word of God of none effect. What? Behold, how good and how pleasant. Have you heard me comment on that? How have I commented on it? Everybody here knows it's good. You see, when you start doing a job and you've got the brothers working together, isn't that good? Now, we can get everybody agrees. Now it gets pleasant. Now there's some pleasantry. Wow, now we get some joy out of it, huh? Or we put some joy in, huh, see? No, we're not too good at the pleasant part, are we? So here we're hearing God saying to us, be pleasant. Be pleasant. Be pleasant. Well, I don't feel like it. Oh. Well, that didn't work with me. I am sure, without a doubt, that there's very few people around here will testify that I'm a pleasant man. I will say that again. There's very few people to hear me preach, hear me talk, who consider me pleasant.
That's right.
Pleasant to listen to, pleasant to look at, not too many. And I tell you that because when God told me to be pleasant, I thought, Lord have mercy. I haven't spent no time doing that. One reason why it's hard to be pleasant, because most of the time when you're pleasant to people, they resent it. When you're trying to be good to them or kind to them, they despise those that are good. I say to people all the time, I say, you're always looking around trying to find something wrong with them. Why don't you watch and see what things I do that's right? Why don't you start rejoicing in the righteous thing that I'm doing? When you see me make an effort to why don't you rejoice in that? And become and come and walk with me. Instead of, when you see a brother do something right, huh? Yeah, they did it all right. But how many days did it take? 3-4 days? See? I know some of you folks don't understand, but see, God blessed us with some buildings here. The last thing we want is for them to sit around here sitting the way they're sitting. So right now we're not looking for jobs off the ground. We're not looking to make money out there. We got several little things that within a matter of 30 days I would like to see a good part of it pretty well accomplished. Yeah. What are they? Well, if you need to be involved in it, we will tell you. And some of you will be involved in it because we're going to do some tearing down, ruling out, throwing away. And we sure want to have you around to make sure we don't throw something away that you don't want us to throw away. That's a problem every time we get around, isn't it? Every time you want to throw something away, somebody says, wait a minute, I want that. I want that. I want that. I want that. And then it sits. Then it sits. Then it sits. Amazing, isn't it? But that spirit of this world that grips us like that, of none effect. Now, what I really want to talk about is this business about Israel. The Jews, if you just read the scriptures, it is so profound. I sometimes say, my God, don't these people ever read? Jesus. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Now, this is Paul writing to the Romans. He was not writing to the Jews per se at Rome. Even though there were Jews at Rome, he was primarily dealing with the Gentile church or the church that was comprised of the Gentiles. Both Jew and Gentile. Jesus came and preached the gospel first to the Jew and then also to the Greek. Same gospel, same message, not given one a greater credibility than the other. There was no advantage to being a Jew except the advantage that you have. I will preach the same message of the end time to a man out there that you have a better advantage over because you have some understanding. You've been told about what to expect. Like a little woman the other day, she says, are we supposed to refuse the mark of the beast? I don't know. Well, we do, Brother, do we refuse it? Well, no, you don't have to. But whosoever receives it, whoever takes it, there will be no reprieve after that one. Boy, I'll tell you, many of you have been marked by the spirit of unbelief, which is the spirit of the Antichrist. But when they put that thing on your physical body, I'm telling you, they will do it. In fact, we were downtown yesterday trying to find out where Mr. White's at, and the woman said to us, they said, you got a chip in him? We can locate this almost like that, chip. Then I saw the other night somebody advertising the dog, and he says, we got a chip in him. He said, you lose these dogs, we can just, bingo, tell you where your dog is. Yeah. How many of you think, oh, you're going to refuse it? Well, most people won't even know it's the mark of the beast. They don't know that. Do you have an advantage over them?
Yes.
You've been told?
Yes.
You've been withdrawn from the systems? By little more and more? Just what are you going to do in the day of God's wrath? Because that's going to be the time of God settling the wrath issue. Whoever receives the mark of the beast, because the wrath of God is going to abide on them for sure. Period. Do I have one person in this place that understands what I just said? Now, we didn't answer that woman. But Teresa looked at me, sort of gave me a little grin. Because you see, they think that's the way to go. My God, look at all you. Somebody say yes!
Yes!
Yes! Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Do you people understand that even though your iniquity and your sin is in your life, that you are one that God has not imputed? That means He's not charged you with it. As guilty as you are, clean slate. And we've heard the scripture over, if God would mark it. And what is that mark? Mark? God's going to mark it. He's going to have it marked.
Amen.
Right now, he has the angel going through marking the saints. Marking them by the Holy Spirit, the ones who cry and sigh. Are you crying and sighing lately? Are you weeping and bawling and squalling? No? No, 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 no? Ah? Woe is me, I'm undone? No? You better. You better. Aren't you glad God fixed it so you got something to bawl and squall about? Woe is me. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Notice that. Whom the Lord will not. He just won't do it. He just didn't impute it to Noah. You don't think Noah showed disobedience? And even Jesus. The Bible said Jesus had to learn obedience. He said when he'd done things like at 12 years of age, God just didn't charge him with sin. He just didn't do it. Why do you do that, God? I'll do what I want to do. You'll be glad I do. Then I'll tell you what I do for you. I can't think of any other reason why I'm still around. That God just has not charged me. Can't think of any other reason. How was it then reckoned? Cometh this blessedness, this not being charged with iniquity, this not having sin imputed to you, cometh this blessedness? Yeah, well, that's a blessed thing, isn't it? Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. In other words, he had faith in that. That's how he was righteous. He believed God. How was it then reckoned when he was In circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Before he ever circumcised. Circumcision didn't make him righteous. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. No advantage to you, being circumcised or uncircumcised. No advantage. None whatsoever. Hard to believe the circumcised Jews, many of them will go to hell. Hard to believe that good old Baptists will go to hell. Hard to believe that old mamas and papas will go to hell. Huh? But if you can have a hard time believing that, maybe that's why you're having a hard time believing you're going to go to heaven. I could go on and on with this. Paul dealt very profoundly with this business of Jews. And you wonder what people do. You wonder what they read. You wonder what they do, you know. They holler about the promises that God gave to Abram, and God gave to Noah, and promises that God gave in the Old Testament. And all those promises are in Christ. Yes. They were all fulfilled.
Yes. Yes.
Every one of them.
Yes.
The Abrahamic covenant, the Noah covenant, yes. The promises of Isaiah.
Yes.
Jesus actually said it just like that.
Yes.
He said, you have Moses and the prophets. If you don't believe them, you sure ain't going to believe me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So now you search the scriptures. Search them.
Yes, Lord.
When you read the accounts in the Old Testament of debauchery and sinfulness and wickedness, and then you see how God saved people out of that,
yes,
through that, in spite of that, some he saved. The classic example is Jacob and Esau.
Hallelujah.
Or David and Saul. Oh, there's so much, Lord. I got to close. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed. The Jews. The natural seed. The 12 tribes of Israel. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law.
Amen.
But through the righteousness of faith.
Hallelujah.
For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. I think the New Testament puts it like this. Not by any works of righteousness that we have done, but through his own blood, he saved us. Therefore, if it be of faith, that it might be of grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The Jew hath no advantage under God's grace except that he has a foreknowledge of God's grace. Just like you. You have the foreknowledge of the end of the world and the coming of Christ. So you have much advantage over people who've never heard it. I ask you again, can you picture a woman saying to me, what do we do about the mark of the beast? Do we refuse it? Well, how answerest thou? You don't have no advantage over that?
Yes.
Are you determined? Are you preparing to do just that?
Yes.
Are you?
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
Are you preparing to live without money?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you preparing to stay where you are and stop your grumbling and complaining?
Oh, yes.
Because when you grumble and complain, you're going to betray.
Yes.
Are you determined?
Yes, Lord.
And they want me to rejoice in this uncertainty. And they blame me for it. You haven't told by me, huh? You haven't seen a life of denial from this prophet, have you?
Yes.
You haven't seen me put away a lot of things that a lot of folks would say it's all right for me to have, wouldn't it? You know I didn't choose this lifestyle, nor one you did. So what do you think you gave up? What do you think I gave up? What do you think Jesus gave up to live down here with you? What did he give up? What did he deny himself of? Huh? Don't you know he practiced self-denial? All right, come on, boy. Standing right against you. Hey, Peter, put up that sword. See, I'm going to deny myself what I could do. I could call for a legion of angels. Take care of this mess just like that. And I'd still be right. I'd still be right. Why? Because I'm God. Whatever I do is right. That's all there's to it. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Careful, little eyes, what you see, because it all goes into the computer and it records. Amen. You want to have faith, then you look for acts of faith. You look for deeds of righteousness. And then you rejoice in those things. And you get transformed, made over, made anew. Oh, boy. Let me see if I can jump down the line a little bit. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Well, that's some statement, isn't it? For the children. Do you really comprehend that? Let me see. That you may comprehend. So we get to understand. What a statement. Well, that statement right there either damns you or saves you. I remember again a man coming by with Alan when he came here. And because Alan, I told you, had a little ministry up there in Minneapolis. It was called the Ministry of the Remnant. I remember something about the Remnant. And when he came down here, it sort of broke up. And what happened was everybody in that little place was a preacher. Everyone. You know, like all these new little things, everybody's a preacher. Everybody wants to preach. They have no order of authority. We're all equal. I can say as much as you. That is so stupid. That's not God's method. I'm sorry, but the Bible does tell us that the body has a foot. Amen. And the foot is not the head, nor is it the hand. And he puts in the body what pleases him. And you are a member. You are a member of the body, put in the body as it pleases him. Well, you made me a foot. Yeah. Now, here's a step. Take it. Here. Well, you made me a hand. Take hold of that. Well, I can do it without the head. No, you can't. The head says to take hold of it. For such a step, walk. Do it. Boys, what some of the knowledge has done to us, how it just confuses us so simple. Just a simple little. Can the foot say to the hand, I have no need of thee? You mean I can't be a foot without the hand? Well, you see, the only thing that a foot becomes a foot is when it's in the body. It's not a foot by itself, you know. Amen. You set it over there. It can only be a foot when it's attached to their body. Amen. Then it becomes a foot. Otherwise, it's just an old bone. Amen. Them bones gonna come together. Yes. Them bones. Yes. Tell them how important a foot is, Richard. And Richard going around. What'd you do, Richard? What'd you do, Richard? Kicked a toolbox. Boy, am I glad I wasn't around. He was looking for something to kick, wasn't he? What'd you get mad at? The toolbox? Oh, well, you hurt yourself then, didn't you? Well, that's what old flesh does. I'm going to close because it's getting close to noon, but does anybody have an answer to what I was trying to do this morning? Again, I'm trying to reassure you that God wants to save us. Me, you. Will you keep telling us to get out of here? If you don't want to be saved, then get out. Get out of my way. Get out of the way of God's people. We want to be saved. I don't know how we're going to make it these days ahead unless God makes the way. I really don't. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, Gentiles, they shall be called the children of the living God. He came to his own, and his own received them not, but to as many of his own or any place else, to as many, whoever they may be, that he chose to present himself to, choose me, he said. To as many as choose him, he gives the right to become a son of God. And these who are of faith, these are the children of Abraham. Now that's where you start. You start by establishing your identity, who you are in Christ. And then you live in him. And it's in him we live and move and have our being. Let's stop trying to serve God according to traditions. Let's be renewed by the transforming of our mind. See, we have to do that. Things are not the way they were. I was trying to explain to the brother a little while ago about how Satan is so slick, because he knows the Word of God. And of course, nobody wants to buy this from me, but these billions of people that are on this earth today, I told you. God spoke to me 25, almost 30 years ago. And that just about includes most of you. All the children, 99% of you. He actually said 99 and 99, 100% of all the children being born now in this generation are being birthed to receive the Antichrist. Wasn't it? There's three of them right there. There's one right there. A couple over there. Look at them. How come they're not? Because they've been chosen out of it. That's what I hope for our children that God gave us. Otherwise, they're gone. There ain't no way you can stop it. And God had to take wrong situations and make them right. That's what you got to do. And you see, you're such a iniquitous people. Nobody can tell you nothing because you all got your little old... there's not a night that I don't rain and say, my God, this iniquity is so strong. Everybody's so concerned about what's going to happen to themselves instead of being concerned about what's going to happen to the body of Christ, because we are complete in him. And what's happening to you is happening to everybody. There is no temptation that's taken you. Sickness, mental anguish, depression, frustration, uncertainty, insecurity. Is there a God? Is there not a God? Don't tell me that Satan doesn't come against your mind with that. Don't tell me. Seemingly forsaken by God. That's what he was trying to tell me. He says, brother, you stay with your heavenly vision. God gave you a vision of the end time. Jesus Christ is coming. And I can tell you right now, most of you ain't helped me with it. You're here because of it. Yeah, you are. You're here because God allowed me to share the vision with you. And you were, But you're a boy, I'll tell you this. Watch the insecurity of your uncertainty. And the biggest part is your lack of willingness to be ruled over. I remember years ago when God said, you take the authority over my people. And I watched it. He told me then, boy, am I going to get Satan mad with this one. He said, I give you spiritual authority over my church in America, and it will be in the southern states. And I watched Satan, how he tried to move in the southern states over and over again, set up the little kingdom nearby, and how God just won't let him. And they are sitting out there listening to me. And every way they listen. Then they'll raise like hell. Try to tell you people over and over again. You don't ever instruct authority. Never. When you do that, you rob it of its authority. Will a man rob God? All power. All authority. In heaven and earth. Will a man rob God of his authority, of his right to rule, of his choice to save? Will a man rob God of his mercy, of his grace, try to obtain it without? By come on! We're a bunch of thieves. It's another revelation I gave that nobody talks about. Nobody even says it. The two thieves hanging on the cross. The one represented Israel, and the other one represents the church. But don't you know he's bringing them both together? He made them both one on the cross. He broke down the middle wall of partition was against us, and he made us both one. Huh? But you see which one got cut off? The one on the left-hand side. Why? He said he's the Messiah. Come on, man. Come on down off that cross. Save yourself and save us too. Come on, save Israel.
Amen.
And the other guy over there on the grace, he looked over and said, man, what's wrong with you? Man, we deserve both Israel and the church. We're a bunch of thieves. We try to steal God's glory. And the end result of the church was, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And of course, then that brings up another issue. Right? Huh? Oh, they went to heaven. No, they did not go to heaven. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And all you doubters about our words, I believe that God knew exactly what he was doing when he authorized the King James Version. And I believe he knows exactly what he's saying when he says a word in it. Now, you may not know, but he does. Hey, brother, follow 7 years a day. How come you observe Easter? I said, I know.
Amen.
Well, it's in the King James Version. I said, here it was. I said, see, because what they were doing was observing Easter, which is contrary to what God wanted them to do.
Amen.
Easter celebration denied the 3 days and three nights. In other words, Easter celebration by the Jews and by the Christian church today denies the resurrection. That's what they do.
Amen.
He did not raise on Sunday morning.
Amen.
He raised right after the Sabbath ended.
Amen.
At evening time.
Amen.
Well, just keep on in your unbelief. Just keep on trying to rationalize it with your stupid minds instead of just giving up on it.
Yes, Lord.
Well, brother, how can you declare that there was no souls in the wombs of those little babies in the mother womb? Because God just showed it to me. And boy, I'll tell you, my God, that is so beautiful. That is such a profound... Come on! Come on, my God! Why would anybody even think contrary? What other answer do you have? You're going to try to tell me... What did they tell us now? Something like a billion babies aborted? And they all went to heaven? I see. Except the baby be born again, right? I think Jesus said, except a man. Now, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I was just as a child. But I became a man. Well, how do you then account for a lot of children growing up? Well, how do you account for them? How many 13, 14 years old does the world have? All right, God going to save them all?
No.
Or 12 or 13? You just don't understand the foreknowledge of God and how he does things. Or you question it all the time.
Amen.
Them he foreknew.
Glory.
Foreknew.
Yes, sir.
Predestined.
Yes.
Chosen.
Right, he knew about Andrew before you knew it.
Amen.
Did he? Was it right? No, but I'll make it right. He knew about you before you knew, but was it right? No, you were, but he makes you, my God. Why don't you rejoice in the righteousness of God? He doeth all things right. Then you'll understand why you're saved, I'm saved, or anybody else. Because God's doing right. Then you'll understand why that one's not saved. And you'll see how God takes it right out of your spirit. You're not going to be in heaven remembering anybody. Oh, I, I'll close with the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Abraham up there in paradise. Yeah, that was paradise. That was not heaven. He saw Abraham. He saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Abraham was not in heaven. He saw. That's what it says. It's a place that God prepared for both the righteous and the unrighteous. And there's a great gulf between them. One looks up and sees up. But the folk up there never look down, so they don't see down. That's the reason why Lazarus wasn't down looking down in hell. You ain't going to be up there looking down in hell. No, we're going to be looking up. Because one thing we're going to do is Christians, we're going to keep on looking up and looking up and looking up. My God, we look up. We don't look down. How do you like that? I just explained to you why Lazarus did not see. And the other rich man could see. Why was Lazarus looking up? Because he wasn't in heaven yet. He still got another place to go. Yeah, we're going to go into an eternal heaven one of these days. My God, you think the city is four square or something? That ain't nothing compared to the eternal heaven. I told you a story. My sister here one time asked me, "Were you in heaven? Did you see it? I said, "You could put it up there." Well, now you see the city built four square. You can put it up there. You can put it up there. It's going to be seen, you know. It's going to come to earth. So, but it's only a, it's nothing compared to what the eternal glory is. The splendor of eternal, my God, nothing. It don't even compare. The thing which you're seeing are temporal. We're going to see that. It's going to pass away like everything else. You know what God said to say, who can build me a house? Well, what kind of house are you going to build for me? He said. What dimension are you going to put it on? How are you going to make it? Oh, come on, saints. How tall is Jesus? I don't know. Because we're not going to be measuring things like that. Shall we stand? I've done my best, Lord, to try to use words. How do you find them? That's what it was that made Abraham do what he done. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. They have a form of godliness but deny the power, that's the unsaved. But we are saved. We don't deny the power. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world who's always debating and arguing this? And where are they? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yesterday, right around 4 o'clock or somewhere, I slipped into the rated room and I took one of those little 20-minute excursions. Of course, I think I'm learning better not to ask if anybody heard me, because most people don't. But I did make a little 10-minute slip. I talked about Lucifer exalting his throne above the stars. Where's the wise? Somebody said, "Brother Stair, how do you catch those things?" I don't. All I know is when I look and see them, bang! It just hits me. Yeah. What? Mr. Obama is moving the space program from going to the moon to going above the stars. Isn't that something? I will exalt my throne above the stars. Wow. You mean Satan getting ready to... You don't know they're getting ready to control the world from the heavens? From the heavens. From the heavens.
Thank you, Father.
Now, if you don't see these things, then you don't know if we're even coming to the end or not. Yeah. What possesses this man with a nation and a world in such terrible turmoil, and set his goal with all the other things he got above the stars. That's what it said. He wants to bypass going to the moon, to Mars, and get on out there above the stars. Wow! I will exalt my throne above the stars. Anybody read that book? No? Well, you're just grasping for straw. I sure am. Those children of Israel grasped straw, didn't they? Had to use some straw, didn't they? If you're a drowning man, they say you'll grasp at a straw. I'm looking for anything. Let me hold on to the authenticity. What a remarkable thing that we have a president now who's decided, he said, in my lifetime, he actually used a phrase. He actually used that phrase. In my lifetime, we're going to go above the stars. My God. And look. How wicked that we don't keep ourselves tuned in so we can grasp everything, so we can encourage one another and say, look at there. This is the voice of the last day prophet of God. If I stay alive much longer, it's going to have to be God. I don't have it in myself to stay alive. I want you all, you leave this building today, if you don't determine in your heart that you're going to receive this prophet, I want you to get out of this place. I mean that. If you're so determined that you're just not going to accept what God's doing here, then there's nothing I can do for you, and you're just going to stand in the way of us, and we don't need that. You're standing your own way. Are you being smart? Am I? You know, God's going to make speedy riddance of this nonsense. We're either going to believe God or we're not. Okay. You know, I keep warning you people that there's a gathering coming. I'm being very kind to you. Because if God ever tells me you're out of here, you're out of here. And you better take heed with that. And don't come fussing at me about it. I'm not making that choice. Hear, O Israel, you better start hearing. Okay, you still want to play that thing on me? Yeah, he don't mean it. Okay. I watched brothers who didn't think I meant it. I even tried to tell you. What was it? 30 days before Mark took his shenanigan, I walked into the computer room and Mark got on me about something again. And I said, Mark, you're wrong. You think you're spiritual. Now, I'm sure he's listening to me. And he'd like to use that against me now. Like he spoke to. Like some of you got in your little old cross. But you're fools. People don't come to where Mark and Rebecca came to just like that. That's premeditation, planning, reservations, conditions. There are conditions that must be met for you to stay here. There are conditions that must be met for you to stay in the love of God. There are things you must do. Yes, there are things you must do. Amen. To stay in God's perfect will. There is something. One of them is present your bodies a living sacrifice. Just give up on your flesh and let it die. Go ahead. Sit there. Think you're different, huh? Oh, God, I can't believe this, that spirit. I know every time I do it, you all think I'm wrong, but I'm not wrong. I knew that dining hall this morning. If you could have seen that despite that came out of your heart just as soon as I started talking. And all I want to do is just tell you some little bit of news. That's all I want you to do. But you're such a defiant people. I showed you that I can walk out, didn't I? I can do it. When God says to me, that's enough, I can do it. I don't like it. Is it I? Yes!
Yes, Lord.
Your iniquity! Yes. See, when I tell you that I know what goes on about certain, that's why, see, how can I even reprove somebody? You get offended when I do? You know, to reprove somebody, you got to say to them, that's wrong. Do it like this.
Amen.
That's how you reprove. Amen.
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 Glory, God.
I think I heard Pastor Timothy preaching on that the other day. Yeah, he was on for about 90 minutes. And he literally dealt with that specific thing. And he was talking about the man of God. And if you don't know what man of God he's talking about when he talks, why don't you ask him? Does anybody have any doubt when Pastor Timothy says the man of God, who he's talking about? Would you like to ask him? Would you get a little chest and do your little blue, 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 blue? Say, Brother Timothy, when you were talking about the reproving and the rebuking and the man of God, which man of God was you talking about? Who is you referring to? Oh, I'm mocking you. You know who you're referring to.
Amen.
The man of God comes out and he tries to reprove us. Amen. Give us instructions. If that don't work, he says, then he has to go back to rebuking. Yeah. And then I even told you what happened with that. Oh, yeah. See, all you have to have is just one or two, and they tie up the whole thing. Just a little leaven.
Yes, Lord.
A little stubbornness.
Yes, Lord.
Then everybody's got to suffer because of your stubbornness. Your spot. Remember, when Jesus comes, he's going to present his body without spot.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
There's one thing you don't want to be. You don't want to be a spot.
No.
Yeah. I'm not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I have to fight it like everybody else. I got to fight. What do you think the scripture means? It says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. You, those mild words? Lay hold.
Yes, Lord.
Hold fast.
Hallelujah.
To that which thou hast.
Glory.
Don't let anybody remove you away from that vision stare.
Right.
Don't let anybody do it. You had it before they came around?
Amen.
Came right through it?
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, this is the voice. Well, I don't like your voice. Yeah? Who does? Jesus is coming.
Amen.
And this is the last time.
Amen.
And I try to make you understand that, too. If, perchance, he doesn't come, then Christianity is dead. There is nothing in it. I mean this generation. I don't mean, oh, he'll come 1,000. No, he's not going to come 1,000 years from now. No one came 1,000 before. He's coming on time.
Amen.
There's one thing I taught you, and I mean it. The coming of Christ is a set time. It has not been changed.
Amen.
Nothing the world does is change in a set time.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing!
Amen.
He's coming on time, and he set the time. Third day, seventh day,
Amen.
Coming in the fourth watch of the night, just before the dawning of the day.
Amen.
When he comes, the light will shine, darkness will be dispelled with,
Amen.
And to destroy the wicked with the brightness of his coming.
Amen.
Now that's the way he showed it to me, that's the way I believe it.
Hallelujah.
And even though I'm going through it, this business of where's God at, why did he do this, why did he do that? Well, he's doing it. We who are kept by the message of the cross.
Yes.
For by it,
yes.
I'm crucified to the world.
Hallelujah.
And the world sinkings and doings.
Hallelujah.
And the world
Glory.
Crucified to me.
Glory.
And they can't always stand me. He can't stand anybody pleasing him. And our nation is so far gone. So
Hallelujah.
So what I was trying to tell you was, Brother Mark Conley had to go back into court again because they were trying to up his child support. It's amazing what these people do, isn't it, huh? I mean, her father is a multi-millionaire, and he's the one who did all the pulling, huh? And they still want to get some more money from this young man. There ain't no way they're going to get away with that. There's just no way. God is going to take vengeance on them. We don't have to. But the thing was, about Mark said he went and talked. My lawyer wanted to agree. He said, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, I'm not going to give what you give her anymore. So he went and talked with her and her father, got him first time alone, and just told me, he said, look, this is how much I'm going to give you. This is what we settled on, and I can't give you anymore. And the judge held it, and he came out without having to give anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
You see, that's what's going to happen with all these things. The world's demanding so much from us. And God's going to give them so much, and he's not going to give them anymore.
Amen.
Now, he's giving them a chance to take us to court and to do all this kind of nonsense. But he's not going to let them take our life and destroy our faith. Somehow, he's going to do something to preserve our faith and give us faith that will preserve us. Because if we don't, we ain't no match for this world. No match. No match at all. So it's time we just put this thing right on the line, let God be God. And I still believe Mr. White's coming back. I got to thinking, honey, about Mr. White, and the Lord carried me back to a little place down in Florida where we lost a cat. Do you remember that? We lost a cat. We had the old camper truck. We were parked in a little place there, and when we got ready to leave, we couldn't find a cat. Big open field. We waited for the cat to come back, and the cat. We couldn't find the cat! And finally we decided, okay, where does this go? We'll just leave. This is a cat. But we walked out to this big field for a moment, and we prayed. You remember? Do you remember? Huh? We prayed. I said, oh, God, we'll leave without the cat. We have to, but sure it'd be nice if it gives the cat, and all of a sudden her meow. And I looked at the words right there between my legs. I was praying about Mr. White yesterday, and I said, Lord, suppose he's dead. God said, I can raise up. I can raise up dead dogs, or I can make another out of that stone over there. What are you going to do if he don't come back? I'll still give God the praise. But I'd like to see him back. He got a nice name, Mr. White. Although he did like a lot of you folk, he'd get cleaned up real nice and white, and he'd go right back out in the manure pile. He'd get all dirty again. That old dog in him. You want to get to me the other night? Before he had caught a squirrel. And Sister Sarah said, look at that, got that stinky old squirrel. So I, you know what that dog, when I went to pick up that squirrel, he tried to bite me. I said, boy, dog, you know what you're doing? But when they get, when a dog's a dog, ain't he? Dog's a dog, huh? He was careful, but he tried to bite me. I said, boy, don't you dare do that. So maybe that's the reason why he's gone. Well, nah, he liked me. Lord bless y'all. We which believe. Do you know what we believe? Do you still believe that?
Amen.
You know, one of these days, on one of these Sabbath mornings, I'm going to ask you to give a reason for why you've chosen to live here, and why you're still here. Now, isn't that nice? It gives you some time to get ready to give an answer. So be ready now, okay? And don't tell nobody you're here because of me. I'll give you some advice. If you're here because of me, you're in vain. You're staying in vain. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear of God. Because I know, yes, I know, he holds the future in my life has some value to it. Though I'll help you out again when you're singing, because everybody knows that song, but you didn't sing it like you knew it. And the reason why you don't, because you don't practice it. Yeah, you ought to sing these songs and make melody in your heart.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Yeah, and sing them to yourself. And until when you're needed to sing them, they come out of you like a bellow instead of an uncertainty. Yeah, so, because, yeah, come on now. You mean we can't put real heartfelt in that? Because he lives, I can. On the highway, we're preaching about the destruction. Sister Stair would sing that song and always get me a crowd. And you will sing it again.
Hallelujah.
You know, you start it out, you will finish it. Lord bless you.
With great faith in the power of the resurrection and the nearness of Jesus' second coming, the Overcomer Ministry announces the passing of our dear brother, Prophet R.G. Stair. On the 3rd of April, 2021, at 11:17 p.m., Brother Stair passed away at his home in Canandaigua, South Carolina. On behalf of the saints here, we would like to thank you all for your faithful and continued support throughout these many years. Please keep us in your prayers as we move forward and seek God's direction for the Overcomer Ministry, continuing on by faith and holding fast to the precious promises of Christ's soon return. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Maranatha.